Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. A lack of moisture has left the state of Russia's 2015 winter grains in a weak condition. Sovecon today says that the total grain crop may fall lower than 90 million tons and wheat lower than 50 million tons. Oil World has cut Brazil's 14-15 soybean crop by 3 million tons to 89 million tons. USDA has the forecast for Brazil's soybean crop currently at 94 million tons. CONAB, which is in the heart of the condition, expects output of 90.6 million metric tons. China's Agri Industries Holdings says today it expects to book a loss of $167.6 million due to falling soy prices in the first 9 months of the year. Between May and September, soy meal prices on the Dalian Commodity Exchange fell 23%, while soy oil lost 12.5% in the same period. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 101,600 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2014-15 marketing year. Join us November 24th for our first ever WILL Egg Farm Assets Conference at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. Our on-air analysts will be all there talking about corn, soybeans, and cash grain marketing. And we've lined up experts from the U of I College of ACES to take up farmland values, crop insurance, and the ARC-PLC decision. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,649, up 36 points. The NASDAQ, well, we're waiting for the NASDAQ to update itself, 4,015, up 9.75. And the S&P 500 is 1949, and it is up 3.75 points. Today is last chance Texaco for our fall fund drive. Agri listeners like you are the most important contributors to the dollars that we need to run our agricultural service. It's over 40%. And the dollars that we have in the bank by the end of the fiscal year dictate what programs that we can offer in the future. So now, on this Friday, and last day of fund drive, it would be a most appropriate time to say yes to WILO Agriculture by calling 217-244-9455. A gift in any amount is appreciated, but do please make that phone call, 217-244-9455. I want to update you on how we're progressing on a challenge that we've been working on all week. Here's where we stand. If we hear from about 40 people today who say either agriculture or case or deer, and we'll get to the case and the deer thing in just a minute, then our fine business partners will add $5,250 to our agricultural total. So right now, if you were to pledge at 217-244-9455, your gift is worth an additional $131. So let's say that you made a $100 gift right now, and a gift at any level is appreciated, but a $100 gift, for example, that gift would be worth $231. It adds up in a big, big hurry. So don't leave those dollars left lying on the table, because that's enough to fund the opening market report, the one we're working on right now, for an entire year. And if you say, well, that's a lot of calls to go, Dave, well, we've come through in the past a few years ago on a Friday, last I can remember, when we received 68 phone calls on a Friday in support of agriculture. You do your part. Give us a call at 217-244-9455. And Les, we have some business partners to thank for supporting the challenge.
We do, Dave. We want to thank our friends at AgriGold, Scott Williamson and Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities. We want to thank the folks at Murray Wise and Associates. Those are just a few of the businesses who've come together to put this challenge up. Together, to put this $5,250 challenge together. Now we have 39 to go to meet that challenge, and that's how it's going to work here today. One call at a time. Your call to help us pay for the service that you use at WILL, this agricultural service. If you find it important, if you use it in your business, we know this has been a busy week for people in agriculture out in the fields doing harvesting and doing work around your properties and things. So if you've been meaning to do this all week long, now is the time to call 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Help us meet this challenge. This is going to pay for services you're going to use here in the future on this public radio station. You can put that on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. 217-244-9455. We have an extra incentive for you, Case and Deer. Fans out there, we want to hear from you, especially right now.
Because if you say Case or Deer, we'll put you in the drawing for a 1/16th scale toy tractor. These are the big boys. Get in on that, too. 217-244-9455. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are expected to be mostly favorable as we move through this next week to 10 days, with not much change in the outlook relative to that of yesterday. We do have three weather systems that will be marching across the region during this period of time, but neither one of them will likely have a big impact on farming activity. There will be some brief delays to field work because of the light rainfall that comes with each event. But we are not expecting to see any one of those events produce enough heavy rainfall to delay farming activity for more than a few hours to a half of day. We will look for the temperatures to stay in a seasonable range for a while longer. The temperatures will actually work their way a little bit further above average across parts of a larger portion of the Midwest as we go through this next few day period. It has been warmer biased in the western Corn Belt for a while, and the eastern areas, though, have been kept fairly mild. Now the pattern is going to change long enough to allow for some of the warmer air to work its way eastward for a little while. But today will still be cool in the eastern areas. The temperatures this afternoon east of the Mississippi River will be mostly running in the 50s and 60s. The high temperatures tomorrow afternoon will be more 60s and 70s across the region, with the exception of Michigan and a few neighboring areas where still some upper 50 and lower 60 degree highs will be possible. The temperatures on Saturday afternoon will be seasonable, running in the 60s north and the 70s south, which is actually still a little bit warmer biased, but in a more seasonable range, I suppose, for some locations. Temperatures will turn a little bit cooler as we move towards the first part of next week in the western Corn Belt, but otherwise the eastern areas should continue to be warm through the weekend and into the early part of the week. Our lowest temperatures at night should not drop much lower than some 30s in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt. Otherwise, 40s and even some lower 50s will occur periodically across the region. Certainly southern areas will likely be warmest during this period of time. Our three weather events that are going to come into the region are expected to have a minor role to play. As I mentioned before, the first disturbance is already present in the western Corn Belt this morning. We've seen some light rainfall occur across those areas. The majority of the precipitation that has occurred has not been very significant, and any kind of delay in field work is going to be very brief as the precipitation lingers for a little while yet today. The precipitation, though, that does occur is expected to have a problem with holding together as it crosses the Mississippi Basin. We'll likely see most of the eastern Midwest totally unaffected by this storm system. It will end up staying dry in those areas, which is important because Ohio, Michigan, and parts of Indiana, even Kentucky, have had a little bit of a cool and moist bias for a number of days, and they do need to dry down in a more significant manner. Our second weather system to impact the region should come into play Sunday through Tuesday. This event will be focused on the upper portions of the Midwest, and it looks as though rainfall will be most significant from Minnesota to Michigan. Those areas will likely end up with perhaps a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of moisture. The lower parts of the Midwest will only get a few spits and spats of moisture with not much more than a quarter to a half inch of precipitation resulting, and the distribution of those amounts will be relatively low. After that system disappears, we'll have another chance for a few showers showing up at the end of next week and early into the following weekend. It now looks like that system will be much weaker than previously thought. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. December corn, 359 and three quarters unchanged. July, 389 down a half. Novi beans, 989 down four and a quarter. July, it's 1015 and a quarter down two and a quarter. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Dave Jensen of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is over in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. For a while, we had corn and beans and green, but in the last little half hour, we've run back into the red.
Yeah, I sure have. Looks like there's going to be some additional rainfall in South America as well, too, and so some of the dry areas there have got a good chance of being able to get some stuff. And really, the funds have been really coming in here strong in this market and really short covering a lot of stuff anyway. And as we look at this, we've got a big harvest weekend coming up, so could have some downside pressure to this market.
And a seasonal at this time of year does actually have beans and corn moving higher.
Yeah, if you take a look at things, I mean, every year can be different from that perspective of things. But, you know, we've definitely got some big crops that are out there on both corn and beans, but we've got some great demand, especially on the bean side of the equation, where we're darn near 200 million bushels ahead of last year anyway. So we've got big crops and big demand, and a lot of time that does not necessarily equate to decent prices.
Do you want to make a case for then the October lows not holding as harvest lows?
I'm not so sure that they're not going to hold, but it does make me nervous here on this rally that maybe farmers should be able to get some stuff sold. I was just looking at the markets here and some options that expire here in about 15 days, and a couple of things that catch my attention here are $10 put options that expire in 15 days and a short-dated option. Again, we can get those bought for just a little bit over 20 cents, which I'm not so sure that if I've got some stuff to sell that maybe that's not a bad way to play that thing. And same thing with corn. You can find some options that expire in about 15 days, 360 put options for about 8 cents. And so if we look at that, it definitely, if it's a situation where you've got some stuff you know you need to move, I'm not so sure if that's not a bad way to play it. And if this market continues to have some upside potential to it, at least you still got that anyway. But I think I'd be a fairly aggressive seller on this rally.
And where are producers sold up to right now, do you think, on a national basis?
Well, going into harvest, we really didn't have a tremendous amount of sales on the books nationwide. Now, I suspect that there's a lot of stuff here as this rally has taken place. Just a tremendous amount of sales have taken place. But in taking a look at, I'm sure farm storage is completely filled, et cetera, but it would be surprising to me if the total farm sales were over 50%. I just don't think that that we're at those levels. So there's a lot of hedge pressure still left to go yet with this market. I expect this. I do expect, and yes, if the lows are in, I do believe the lows are in. But I think you're going to be faced with a market that's just going sideways for the most part to drifting lower from here, unless we get some weather type inputs anyway that that change the dynamics of the market again.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Dave Jansen of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. 38 calls now to go to meet our challenge of $5,250 from our fine business partners. We're counting it down on this final day, Les, of our fall fund drive.
That's right, Dave. It's time now for people to make that call. I want to thank Marjorie from Champaign, Lois from St. Joseph. We've heard from Carl from DeLand, Rianne from Champaign, who have made a call, mentioned agricultural services. Also, we want to thank Dave Jansen from Strategic Farm Marketing, also Brian Starks out at the Andersons, and Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson, Champaign County Branch. Those are just a few of the businesses who put this $5,250 challenge on the table. We need to hear from at least 100 people by the end of the day. We're less than 40 away from making that goal, so let's hear from you right now. Support this service, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org, $120, $250, maybe $75, whatever fits into your budget. Put it on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express.
Help send a message that ag services you receive are important to you and your marketing and agribusinesses. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:06 Central Time.